You're listening to The Breakfast Show with Priscilla, and this morning I have a very close friend slash sister, member of The Breakfast Show, here in the studios, ready to just have a really good time, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, we had a bit of an introduction last week where she spoke about who she is, did a bit of a rapid fire question segment, and it was totally lit. It was so, so fun. But this morning she's in the studio. Emily, welcome to The Breakfast Show.
Thank you. This is so exciting.
We have spent many, many moments talking about this moment right now.
Yes.
And it's here.
I can't believe it. Wow. I'm one of you.
You certainly are. And when I say, listeners, that she's part of the Breakfast Show family, Emmy's going to be a regular on the show. She's going to be here weekly. What did we say? Weekly,
yeah,
daily.
Weekly.
You're not leaving now?
Yeah, no. You can't get rid of me.
We've taken her car keys. She has moved in. No, she's actually going to be part of the show on a weekly capacity. And I am so excited, Em, because I've been praying last year, beginning of this year, Lord, would you put a team around me? Because I'm here all by my lonesome. Aww. And I love talking to our listeners. You're going to find, Em, they're just the best. Honestly, the Breakfast Show family, oh, they know how to party. They know how to support. They know how to give me a call and let me know how life is. I just felt like I needed a team around me because I want to bring in professionals and everyday amazing legends to speak into this space.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, life wasn't meant to be done alone.
No.
We were supposed to be in community. And absolutely. So when I spoke to you the very first time, there was something that
connection.
Went off. How was it?
Yeah.
We
amazing.
Were supposed to do a project A, and then this project Heart of Mine got involved, and I'm like, wow, Lord, this girl is amazing. Aww. There was just such a sweetness, a fierceness, a depth about you, and I welcome you wholeheartedly into the Breakfast Show family. Be yourself.
Thank you.
You don't have to be anything other than that. Whatever God shares through you, we are ready for it.
Alrighty.
So I'm going to just like take a step back. I don't have a cup of coffee. I've got a glass of water. Let me show you my tank of water. Can I?
Oh, wow.
You almost need two hands to hold this thing. I'm just going to take a sip through my silver straw because I'm saving the environment, not using
Love
plastic
that.
Straws. And I want you just to let us know who you are.
Okay. Well, I am a naturopath. So for those of you who don't know what a naturopath is, it's someone who works holistically on the whole body. So we don't take one piece and try and work on that. We look at whatever's presenting and we go deep. We look at everything's connected. We are a whole human after all, an intricate, complex creation though. And the more I learn about the body, the more I'm just stunned and overwhelmed, and like our creator is just incredible. So that's where I work at, like how are things connected, what's going on underneath the surface to create this picture of what's going on at the moment for this person. I focus on youth mental health, but I do work with anybody, and if I don't know what's going on, I'll refer on, or I'll do a heck of a lot of research. Yeah.
You look like you're very good at doing research.
Oh, I do tend to get spiral though, like a rabbit hole, because I get so interested in the detail. But and naturopathy is a degree qualification, so it took me 9 years to get that.
You've done a bit of studying.
I have, yes, and I'm still studying. I'm doing a master's in youth mental health at the moment. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, Em, can I ask you this question? Growing up, was this the dream job? Did you at 6 years old say, I want to be a naturopath?
No, I wanted to be a hairdresser.
I love it. True story.
True story.
Wow. And when did you say, no, I'm not going to pick up scissors, I'm going to pick up books on that I can spend the rest of my life researching? When did that change happen?
I think probably after I had a journey myself in mental health.
Wow.
When I was young. And once I got through all of that and healed and everything, I just felt in my heart that that's where I want to work. I want to work in that place to help people.
Wow. Yeah. So with your job, what does your job kind of look like?
So I work in a clinic.
Yeah.
And I can work with parents and as well, because often young people are a bit of nervous to come in to talk to a clinician. So I'm happy to start with parents. And I think it's really important to point out parents need the support as well. Yes. I mean, often parents will put their heart and their soul and their world into their children because they, you know, that it's a sacrificial love, parenting. It's, you know, it's come just like God loves us. Yeah. That's, you know, having my children makes me really understand the parent side of God, you know, that sacrifice, yeah, and that love. And that I will give all for my child. I won't think of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But parents do need to think of themselves as well. So I work there as well. There's so much just like that you can work in, so many spaces, the nervous system, hormone regulation, gut health, sleep. For both parents and young people. And that's where I work. I can use herbal medicine. I can use nutritional supplements. Nutritional biochemistry is the base for supplements, supplemental work. That was one of my most favourite topics in uni. Yeah.
Now, Em, you are talking about the actual physical makeup of us as humans. Mm-hmm. Talk to our listeners a little bit about, because they're hearing, okay, naturopathy. Some of us are thinking, but what's her life like? Like, where does Jesus kind of fit into all of this? And I want to let our listeners know, you've got quite an incredible story. You are a Jesus lover like all of us. Guilty.
Big time fan.
How does Jesus kind of be the filter that you do everything through?
Oh, well, I pray for all my clients.
You do?
I do.
We love you.
But I also pray for guidance in there, like every client that comes to me before I start doing the workup, I'll which I do outside of the, like I take an assessment in my initial consultation.
Yeah.
And then after that, that's when I do the work and I try and connect the dots and everything. But before I do that, I'll pray for spiritual guidance on what is actually going on and how best to support this person. What is it that they're actually really needing? And I just believe that with what I use as well, so yeah, nutrition and herbal supplements and herbal medicines, like that's all God created stuff. You know, I mean, it's herbal medicine is God created our plants. Like you can't get much close. Like, I remember I get very excited.
Yeah, it's okay. So do I.
But I remember seeing a plaque in a garden once, and it stuck with me. And it said, "A kiss of a bird for pardon, a song of a bird for mirth. You're closer to God in a garden than anywhere else on earth."
Wow.
And I saw that when I was a teenager, and it just stuck with me.
Wow,
you know, that you're
so
closer
powerful
to God in a garden, and it's so true. Like that's His creation.
Yeah. And he talks, the whole Bible's literally, you're a gardener, there's a field, there's seeds.
Absolutely. So it's such an honour to be able to work with herbs and what their hidden talents, suppose, or personalities are, you know, because they have a personality.
That's so cool. Now, listeners, this is what kind of M segment is going to look like. You're going to bring different kind of topics or different areas and kind of just, what are you thinking? What are we going to be listening to during your show?
Oh, gosh. It's just my show. I think it's really worth, I'd like to bring a little bit of education in around how our body works and how it impacts other things in our body. I will try not to get too carried away with the detail because I tend to get so excited about how the body works. but I will, so I'm thinking maybe some conversations around nervous system, what it is, what it does, how it works, all our different brain hormones and neurotransmitters and things. Some gut health talk. That is basically where we work predominantly in the gut as well. So, you know, there's lots going on there and it's fascinating.
Em, sitting opposite you, I'm getting so excited because I'm like, this is what I was thinking we would be talking about. And now that it's happening, I'm so grateful because this is going to be put into the hands of so many parents and grandparents and aunties, uncles who are just like, oh, wow, how do I navigate this? I don't want to ring a company for help, but I can catch something from these moments that Emily has said, hey, let's get in this together. And that's what I love about you, Em, that you're not just spitting out info and saying, go. You're actually like, no, I'm here right beside you. Let's talk about it together. We were just talking off air a couple of minutes ago, where do we start this? And so you, as the professional in the room, have said, let's kick off with the nervous system.
Yeah.
Now, I was in school a long time ago. I tried to do chemistry and my chemistry teacher actually came and said, hey, Priscilla, I love you, but chemistry's not your thing. Boom, shock, horror. It's like, no. So why don't you just go for it right now and introduce us to the nervous system?
Okay. All right. So we have a central nervous system, which kind of runs everything. It's I like to think of it because it's I like to think of it as running from the brain right through the center of us down to the gut. Lots of different segments of the nervous system, I suppose you could say, come off that. So you've got your enteric nervous system, which is your the nervous system that uses that innervates your gut system. So it the muscles and all the things to help move your food through your intestines and all of that sort of stuff. And you've got your vagus nerve, which talks to your brain and your gut. It's a bi-directional, so a two-way pathway there. So whatever your brain is thinking, it impacts your gut. Whatever happens in your gut can impact your brain. That's a fascinating area of conversation. It's like worth another hour at least. and then you've got your, what we call your sympathetic nervous system and your parasympathetic nervous system. Now, they're technical terms, but basically it's everyone would have heard of the fight or flight response. That's your sympathetic nervous system. And then the other one on the opposite side of that is your rest and digest, which is your parasympathetic nervous system. And they work in tandem. They don't work together. They work, one's working, the other one's not. And sympathetic nervous system is that stress response. And it has quite a lot of different sort of levels of response. Today in our world, you see predominantly we are stress response driven, even if it's low grade stress, because there's just always something going on. But in our world today, you just have to turn the news on and we'll get a stress response. So that is a place where I work a lot. So it doesn't matter the age. I think we all need some support in our stress response.
With what's happening in the world, and funny that you've brought that up, we often think, as adults, we kind of feel the grunt of it because we're the ones paying for the fuel, we're the ones that have to go to the grocery stores. Mm. In your line, looking at a couple of teenagers that kind of come to mind, how are they affected with kind of what's going on in our world? Are they affected?
Yeah, I believe they are. I mean, our teenagers are so hooked on, they have access on their phones, on their devices, they have access to the world that we as teenagers never had.
Yeah.
So that just, even without realizing, that increases the stress and their access to information. So they know a lot more than we used to know as teenagers. They're aware of a lot more than we used to be, worldly events and things. I mean, when I was a teenager, I might have been aware that there was an election coming up because I'd seen it advertised on TV, but I had no idea what was going on in Iran or what was going on. Do you know what I mean? This is just every day for our teenagers now. So there's just, and even just that amount of information that's coming in at such a speedy rate, it can overload their system without even realizing that it's overloading. And then not to mention all of the possibilities of bullying and the self-talk as well, all of the images that they're seeing about what they think they should be, what they think their world should look like, what they think their body should look like. There's just so much out there, so much pressure on them. Their stress responses are definitely higher than what they need to be.
Yeah, that's incredible. And when we are looking at the world, only because I've been speaking to quite a few different families, how important is it to actually, for those of us, because not everyone sits down for dinner at the end of the day, how important is it to talk about what's happening around us at those little gatherings?
Yeah, super important. And I think it's safe to say that I think it's really important that parents express that they're not necessarily, coping as well. I mean, not to panic their teenagers, but I think it's important for teenagers to understand, okay, so even the adults are feeling a little bit, whoa, so it's not just me.
Yeah. So some parents might be like, I don't want to make my kid worried. Yeah. So I just want to protect them.
And that's understandable, absolutely. But yeah. And I think there's a balance, absolutely. Yes. You want to protect them from, you
very
know.
Very good. And you increase. Are very good at this, Emily. We are going to keep you, I tell you what. Yes, there's
but
a balance.
But it's okay to say, yeah, I'm not really loving what's going on in the world at the moment. And, you know, I have, but that's what a perfect opportunity to bring it back to God, though. Do you know what I mean? Like to say, yeah, I'm feeling really shaky around this area, but I know that God's got it. And you can, you know, that what a perfect way to model to your teenager. I have faith in God. He's got control of this.
Yes. And talking about teenagers, I was watching the news yesterday and there seems to be this outbreak, I'll use that word outbreak, of revival happening amongst these teens, young adults who are finding themselves in church.
Isn't that awesome?
They're the ones that are filling up the pews. They're the ones that are making a lot of noise, maybe not parking within the lines because they're just learning, give them, they're on their pee plates. But there is this hunger to be in the presence of God. And when this particular reporter were catching, you know, some of the people, the kids that were part of the service and saying, why do you come? It's Tuesday night. Why are you here? They're like, I felt the tangible presence of God and I just wanted to keep coming back, keep coming back. Mm. And so this foyer at church, it looked like it was a busy restaurant. Little tables, coffees everywhere.
Wow.
But it was the foyer at church of those waiting to get into the service. So our young people, I love them, Em. I love our young adults. I love high besties. I mean, they are my people, the kids that are on their way to school. There is such a need for us to realize that teenagers, young adults, they're aware of everything.
They are.
Grab
absolutely.
Them and journey with them and you actually learn a lot from them as well.
Oh, absolutely. I learned so much from my kids. Right from the get-go, I've learned so much from my kids.
Yeah.
But they constantly surprise me. So I have three boys and I just love talking to them because it's such a different perspective of the world to mine.
Yeah.
You know, and I think sometimes they're more on like in tune with it because they're the generation that are coming into it. So they're
Em,
so...
That right there. They're the generation that are coming into it. She's dropping gold this morning. I love that. So you've touched on it. Different things that's happening on the nervous system. Is there anything in that space that you want to kind of dive a little bit deeper into? Because this is not your only episode. We're going to keep having you back for more because, there's a need for you. There's a need for your wisdom and for what God has got within you. So anything extra that you wanted to just kind of leave us with in regards to the nervous system for episode one?
I think maybe just bearing in mind like that the nervous system of an adolescent and that can go, the research now talks, adolescence is anywhere from 12 to 28.
Oh, have they bumped it up?
They've bumped it up, yeah.
Why is that?
I think... part of it is what I touched on before about the social media and the access to information. It actually has, there's a lot of things that are contributing to it, but that in part, it's done two things. It's kind of increased their awareness, but also stunted a little bit of their development.
Wow.
Because of the constant scrolling and the constant feed. It's really hard to condense into but basically the research is starting to sort of suggest that overuse of social media and everything is actually kind of slowing down a little bit of the development. Plus when we think about it, they're moving out of home later because it's so hard to save up and to get a house or to rent or anything. So they're staying in homes longer. Mm-hmm. And the world, your parents are kind of, you know, really, really protecting them. If you think about the difference between when I was 12, I was babysitting children at 12. Whereas now some 12-year-olds are still getting people to mind them.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's a big gap in that sort of developmental stage.
Mm-hmm.
So, but physiologically what's going on is that prefrontal cortex is still developing. So there's a lot of things that like the neurotransmitters aren't where we're at. So that's why that stress response and the behavior that you see in young people is different to, you know, how we would think someone would, how we would expect to respond to something.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see or expect our adolescents to respond the same way because they just don't have the same neurotransmitters and hormonal stability that we have. So I think that's probably a good takeaway to remember when you're working with, or you know, talking to a young person. Just remember that they don't have the same chemicals in the brain that we do.
Yes. Still developing.
Still developing.
And at the age of 44, that's my numbers, is mine still developing or is it done? I feel like it's still developing some days.
Sometimes I feel like mine are as well. But I'm probably reaching the stage where the hormones are starting to change again.
Emily, we love you so much. We are looking forward to you coming in next week to chat a little bit more about the nervous system and all of the fun stuff. And listeners, if you have any questions, please, please send them through Priscilla@963.com.au. That's PRISCILLA@963.com.au. I will send them across to Em and she will do a bit of research because that's what she loves. She's the research queen.
Love it.
And then she'll bring you some goodness, so just to support you along the journey. Em, this was fun for the first one.
Thank you.
You're smiling every time you start talking. I'm like, wow, she really does love what she does.
I didn't realize I was smiling, but obviously I do.
I love it. So that is our first session of Hey, It's Emily, and I cannot wait for episode 2. Em, have a good day.
You
until
too.
We see you next. Take care.